So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is concluding. So this is the conclusion of Daksha Yajna, a great sacrifice which was performed by Daksha. It went into a calamity and later it was rectified. And as it is mentioned in this section, that at the end it was completed in great harmony and peace. Here we can see the story of Sati, how she took her life and later she was born again as the daughter of Himalayas. And again she chose to marry Lord Shiva by performing severe penances and austerities. So Sati, as it is mentioned here, at the time of quitting her body, she completely meditated on Lord Shiva. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport there that according to our consciousness, at the time of death, one receives, became Parvati because she is the daughter of Parvata, the great Himalaya mountains. And again she performed austerities and then became the wife of Lord Shiva. Here, in this purport, there are few short purport. One is narrating the story of Parvati in brief. And it is mentioned here that that in itself is a story, that in itself is a pastime, how Parvati performed austerities and then married to Lord Shiva, and then from their combination, Kartikeya was born, a great Sanskrit poet, Kalidas. He had written a very famous kavya. It is known as Kumara Sambhava. It's the whole depiction of Mother Parvati's austerities and her marriage to Lord Shiva, and then how Kartikeya was born. So that in itself is a big story. So it's not the topic for today's discussion. So Srila Prabhupada briefly mentions about this. However, here in this purport, Prabhupada quotes the Vedic mantra, Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate. So this is from the Shveta Shvetara Upanishad. And this verse is very important because it is establishing the connection between the Purusha and the Prakriti, the masculine and the feminine principle, which is there from right from the creation. Not just this creation, but even before creation. Even in the spiritual world, this principle is existing eternally. So this is the combination of creation, is the combination of Purusha and Prakriti. That is the material world. And even before, there is Purusha and Prakriti. And Purusha is the energetic, the Supreme Lord. And Prakriti is his multifarious energies. So why there is this principle of Prakriti and Purusha? Why there is energy and the energetic? Because without the energy for the energetic, there is no question of enjoyment. So as it is mentioned, Anandamayo Bhyasad, Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra says. So the Supreme Lord is always enjoying. His natural character is to enjoy. So is the living entity, the conditioned souls. We also try to enjoy in various ways. So for the Supreme Lord to enjoy eternally, there has to be energies to the Supreme Lord. So that's why there is, the Supreme Lord is one, as it is mentioned by Swarup Damodar Goswami, as quoted by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritil Hathiri Shakti Rasmat Ekatmana Abhi Bhuipura Deha Bhedam Gadoto. It was one Supreme Lord who manifested into two. Why? Because Pranaya Vikritil, to enact the pastime, the Leela. Because the real Ananda, the real pleasure is in activity. And to manifest that, the Supreme Lord is always present as two. That is Radha and Krishna. That is the eternal principle of Purusha and Prakriti. And it's multifarious energies. So they are eternally performing this pastimes. And in fact, those If you try to understand why the Supreme Lord has energies, we can even take a practical example. If there is a wealthy man, he has potencies. At least one of his prime potencies, he has got money. One time, Srila Prabhupada told, we are not going to first preach about Srimati Radharani or one of his Krishna's prime energies. He said, why? Because we cannot ask about the private enjoyment of a rich man at the first place. We cannot just approach a person, hey, how did you enjoy last night? You cannot ask. It is not appropriate. Nobody is going to answer such a question. It is considered a very invalid question. Nobody is going to entertain such question. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada said, we are not going to preach about Srimati Radharani in the first go. First understand who is the Purusha, who is the Supreme, how he is rich. First try to respect him. Then you can understand about his enjoyment. That is Srimati Radharani. So that is very advanced topic, and that is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Srimati Radharani. So when we have a rich man, he has money, and money can make one blind because everything is at his or her disposal if he has got money. Even Kunti Devi recognizes this point. Janmaishri Shruta Shripur Etamana Madapuvan. She says in the 8th chapter of the first canto, she says, okay, there are many obstacles in attaining pure devotional service. One is Janma, a good birth. Aishwarya, opulence. Shruta, good education. And beauty, Shri. However, it is mentioned that of all the four can make one puffed up, but the riches, the money is the biggest culprit. Because if one is rich, one can get everything else. One may not have education, but if he has money, one can employ 100 PhDs under him. If he may not have maybe from a good family, but he can have relation with good family. He may not have beauty, or he may not be handsome, but he can get many beauties. So in that way, riches can be a big obstacle in one's devotional service. However, if it is used properly, then definitely it is not an obstacle. The Prabhupada gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj, lot of wealth. Like, that's why Srila Prabhupada named Alfred Ford, you know, what is his name? Ambarish Das. Because he has wealth, but it is used in Krishna service, so there is no problem. Absolutely there is no problem. We are not against rich, but if it is used in Maya, then it's a problem. Because it is a distraction from devotional service. But riches in itself is not a problem because it ultimately belongs to Krishna. It is Lakshmi Devi. What is her nature? She is Chanchala Lakshmi. It's the transcendental quality of Lakshmi Devi is Chanchala. Flickering. Why she is flickering? Because she doesn't want to stay with materialistic people. So she will be there with one person. Maybe his or her opulence for a short while. Then she flees to her master, that is Krishna. That's why we read Lakshmi liberated, Jai. Because it is used in Krishna's service. So it is good. There's nothing wrong in it. Now, when you try to see the Supreme Lord, and he must have energy. He must have, there is no choice, but he must have energy. The energetic must have energy. You cannot separate energy from the energetic. Because one, it is for his enjoyment. Second, let's take the example. We know Madhava Prabhu, Madhava. What the mind comes, Krishna is there, Madhava. But we have a kirtan singer also, Madhava Prabhu, right? So if we see Madhava Prabhu, what comes to your mind? Immediately, kirtan comes to your mind. So if Madhava Prabhu is coming here, we cannot separate his shakti from him. He's visiting here, I think, in a month's time. So, we cannot separate his shakti from him. Okay, of course, he is using that shakti to glorify the Supreme Lord. Similarly, we have Achintyadeva Mataji is here. Say, she is in India, but she will be coming here. She is a good cook. So, we cannot separate her shakti from her. Because it is there, it is her, it is with her. Similarly, whenever there is a person, he has his own opulence. Shaktis are there. So that is the principle of Shakti. All the time, The Purusha has Shakti, and the Shakti is meant to be utilized for the pleasure of the Purusha. So the Shakti can be of different forms. One Shakti is, we know, the Jada Prakriti. We have the material objects which are meant to be used in Krishna's service. Ourself, Jiva Shakti, we are meant to be utilized our life to serve Krishna. So in all respects, we have Shaktis to be used in Krishna's service. And if we don't use, then we are going to suffer, which is the reality. It may look, it may sound a bit negative, but that's the reality. If we don't use our energy in service of Krishna, then there is something as suffering. So we don't want to do that. That is one inferior reason to serve Krishna. And there is a superior reason, which is to love Him. Because we want to develop relation with Krishna. We want to love Krishna. That's why we serve Krishna. And the negative reason is to avoid suffering. So we try to, we don't want to be in that category. In fact, recently I went to Mayapur and Vrindavan, and my family members, parents, few other relatives, they came to Mayapur and Vrindavan. Then they mentioned a very interesting point. In Mayapur, when they were with the devotees, they were chanting and dancing, and they were doing all the devotional activities. They were doing everything with happiness. They were susukham kartam aviyam. They were doing with jubilation. They were not just intensely praying just to remove the suffering. Like maybe suffering, maybe they are all devotees, we are conditioned, we may have some suffering. But when we chant and dance in front of the Lord, then we are happy. Naturally the suffering dissipates, just goes away. So they were telling, generally we go to temple, we intensely pray because we have suffering. We are praying intensely to get rid of all the suffering. But here we can see a group of people who are so happy chanting, glorifying Krishna. And they were completely moved by such devotion. So I realized, for many people, the greatest preaching is just show them devotees, how are they worshipping the Supreme Lord. That's enough. If they see chanting and dancing, and how they are decorating the Supreme Lord, how they are offering so many different varieties of bhoga to the Supreme Lord, their heart get changed, transformed, just by this one activity. My father told that when he entered the temple room 4:30 in Mayapur, and everyone was chanting and dancing, he said tears came to his eyes. Because here, see the devotion of the devotees. My auntie came, she's 84, so she's in very advanced in her age. She came to Mayapur, then we went to Vrindavan. And I told her, in India itself, you know, in ISKCON temple, we offer Janmashtami, we offer 500 items of bhoga to the Supreme Lord. She was telling, oh yeah, really? Okay. And we went to Radha Damodar Mandir. So when we went there, they opened the curtain and we could see the Lord is there, and we could see a massive offering to the Supreme Lord. That is hundreds of plates of bhoga for the Lord, sweets, hundreds of varieties. So in the altar, there is no space but only bhoga for the Lord. Then after seeing, she's 84 and she was looking completely astonished, and immediately, I want to give a donation. At least I want to contribute something. So she was completely mesmerized. And after the whole trip, I was telling her, you know, everyone is chanting, they are happy because they are all chanting 16 rounds every day. She said, it is so amazing. I can see young ladies, young mothers, they come with their kids, that too in sari. Even nowadays Indians don't want to wear saris. These people, these Westerners, they are coming in saris. They are bowing down in front of the Lord, and the small kids, they are also bowing down in front of the Lord. What's really going on? So she said, okay, I want to start chanting. So there itself, few of them, they started chanting in Mayapur itself. Even though it was terribly cold, because they had never used cold weather. They have seen only temperature between 25 and 40. They don't know anything. They don't know anything else exists in this world. They have never worn a jumper or a shawl, not required. So they were complaining, it is so cold, we can't handle this. But somehow or other, they went, they started chanting. And after coming back to Kerala, where I'm from, I was born there, they all started chanting 16 rounds. They said, from now onwards, we will chant 16 rounds. So this is This is the power of the dham. Power of the dham is because, why power of the dham? Yes, tirthi kurvanti tirthani, because of the devotees. So when the devotees are there, there is bhakti shakti, there is the energy, there, all energies are being used in service of the Purusha, the Supreme Lord. And they never forget that. My father, I told about Ambarish Prabhu. I have even previous visits, I have told them about Janivas Prabhu and Pangajangri Prabhu. So he asks all the time, are they still there? You know, so they remember, they have dedicated their life to serve the Supreme Lord. They do remember, and they can appreciate the devotion of the devotees because it is right in front of the eyes. No one can hide that. It is there. But that is a great preaching. As TOVP, there's a big logo under the, well, the TOVP Seva group, that office, you know, Srila Prabhupada's photo, and Srila Prabhupada is telling, I'll bring the whole world here. So there, why? The whole world comes there, then they see the devotion. They get the association of the devotees. They get mixed with the bhakti shakti. Then there is going to be transformation of the heart. So it's a great preaching in itself, the devotion of the devotees. That's what is going to change the heart of the people. So what do we have to do? We had to continue as devotees. We had to do it enthusiastically. That's all we had to do. One time, few devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, why Jayananda Prabhu receives all your mercy? Because he was always enthusiastic, serving from morning till night. He was the last to go to bed, first to get up in the morning. So Prabhu said, no, I give my mercy to everyone equally, but he takes it most. So this is our position. So we cannot complain. Our spiritual master is not giving you mercy. Prabhupada is not giving us mercy. But the question is, do we really want the mercy? Are we really ready to act upon that mercy? So we feel ourselves not enthusiastic at times, right? Yes, we do feel. So what do we have to do? We have to just act enthusiastically. Why? Act means act in devotion service enthusiastically. Naturally, what happens? The real enthusiasm will flow because devotional service brings mercy. So devotees become enthusiastic. So only one thing we had to do, act enthusiastically. As someone told, you fake it till you make it. It's not really faking, by the way. It is acting in devotional service. So that is going to attract mercy and we are going to be really enthusiastic. So this is the energy and the energetic. Radha and Krishna. And then they combined. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna himself wanted to experience what is the devotion of Srimati Radharani. He himself wanted to experience that pleasure. He wanted to see the attractive feature of Krishna as seen by Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, when I was reading I was reading this verse from Veda Base. So there, the Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate, there is a quotation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is mentioned. It is from the Madhilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada narrates the beautiful pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, the beginning of the purport is this verse. Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate Swabhavagi Jnana Balakriyacha. What does that mean? The Supreme Lord has multifarious energies. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in describing and glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in front of Lord Jagannath in the Rath Yatra. So the beginning verse, always in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first verses of each chapter are very interesting. There Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami summarizes the entire chapter just with one verse. And it has the essence of the entire chapter. And these verses are like amazing verses. Amazing verses. Like many are often quoted. Say for example, you know, we might have heard the verse wherein it said, if you remember Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult task become easier. And if you forget him, vismritetu viparitam syat sri chaitanya namamitam. If you forget him, then even the simple tasks become most complex. So these kind of verses are coming right in the beginning, the first verses of different. This is from the Adilila. Similarly, in narrating the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Rath Yatra, the first verse in itself, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami mentions by the pastime of Lord Chaitanya dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, the entire world got astonished. But the most amazing thing is that even Lord Jagannath got astonished. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of Lord Jagannath, even he got astonished. What's really going on here? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions, both are the same persons. Lord Jagannath is seeing, I am dancing in front of myself. How is it possible? This is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. His own expansion, he himself in different mood is dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Opi Vismita. Even Jagannath got Vismita. He got astonished. First he astonished the whole world, and even the Lord of the universe himself got astonished seeing this pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita how the Daitas, the Pandas, how they carried Lord Jagannath from the altar to the Rath cart. Have you seen that? You can see the video that if you haven't been to Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra time, you can see, you know, hundreds of Pandas, the Daitas, they are carrying Lord Jagannath. How can you carry Lord Jagannath? He's the Lord of the universe. How can you carry Lord Jagannath? Even one of the Pandas, he told, we are not really carrying him. His own realization. He is making us move. You know, it's in a particular way, kind of a dance, you know, in a particular rhythm. They are carrying Lord Jagannath. This Panda told, he is making us carry him and he is moving us. They are carrying in a particular way. So how can we carry the Lord of the universe? It is not possible. But everything is possible by the mercy of the Lord. So they carry Lord Jagannath Balaraya Subhadra to the chariot. And that time Mahaprabhu was personally present. He started chanting, Manima, Manima. We chant that when we wake the Lord or when we put the Lord to rest. So Manima, Manima means how they address a respectable person in Odisha. In Orissa, probably it's in Odia. It's Manima, Manima. So Mahaprabhu was chanting Manima, Manima as the Lord Jagannath was coming out to the chariot. Then there is great decoration and all the devotees started pulling the chariot. And whenever and wherever the Lord wants to stop, he would stop. Then no one can do anything. There will be big chanting and dancing. And Mahaprabhu well organized the chanting and dancing parties. There were 7 groups. And each had 2 mridanga players. So 14 mridanga players. And each group had 24 chanters. So 24 chanters. Then there were leading dancers in each group. Nityananda Prabhu, he would dance as a lead dancer of the group. There is Haridas Thakur, who would lead another group. There is Advaita Acharya, who would lead another group. And there is Vakreshwar Pandit, the great dancer, who would lead another group. As Mahaprabhu told, if I had one more person like Vakreshwar Pandit, then I could fly. Because he could dance for 48 hours, 72 hours, in non-stop. So Mahaprabhu said, if I have one more dancer like him, then I'll be flying. So this is the great chanting and dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. There, Mahaprabhu manifested a most amazing pastime. He was chanting and dancing with one group of devotees, and they thought that Mahaprabhu is with us. He's chanting with us, he's dancing with us, and he's with us. He has given us special mercy by dancing with us. And they formed one circle around Mahaprabhu. So the circling is not just we are doing in Kirtan here, but that is there even from Mahaprabhu's time. So there was the first circle headed by Lord Nityananda. Then the next circle by Advaita Acharya. The third circle by Pratapirudra and his associates. It's like that they made the circle and dancing around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the same time not allowing the public to come so close to Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya's dance, it is mentioned, he would practically fly in the sky. And sometimes he would collapse. So devotees would feel great pain because he's really collapsing, as if all his bones were broken. But he was in ecstasy. So Mahaprabhu was enacting pastimes like this. And then these devotees, they thought, Mahaprabhu is only with our group. He's with us. Then the next group, Mahaprabhu was doing the same pastime. Even though there were 7 groups of devotees and chanters, Mahaprabhu was present personally in each and every group. And all of them thought, Mahaprabhu is only with us. Who could see this mystic pastime? Only his intimate associates. Sarvabhava Bhattacharya, he could see. Ramananda Rao, he could see. And interestingly, even Pratap Rudra, the king, whom the Lord forbade his association, even he could see this mystic pastime of Mahaprabhu. Therein, Srila Prabhupada says, this is because of his Leela Shakti. It's not that Mahaprabhu is thinking, okay, let me expand. Okay, let me do something to expand. No, he wants to be with all the devotees, and he is with all the devotees. So this is his Leela Shakti. So whatever is needed to enact pastime of the Lord, the Leela Shakti arranges. So the Shaktis are for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So the Lord has an amazing Shakti. One is Satya Sankalpa Shakti, right? Whatever he thinks, it is true. Satya Sankalpa, we wish we have, right? Yes, in the pure Jiva has this Shakti. When one is purified, then in whichever way one wants to serve the Lord sanctions, it happens. But in the conditioned state, why we don't have? Then we will be in trouble. We will cause trouble for ourselves, so we don't have that Shakti. And the Lord has another amazing Shakti, it is called Sarajya Lakshmi. Means, he can desire in unlimited ways. He has unlimited desires. Unlimited desires. And at the same time, he has Sarajya Lakshmi, so that he has the potency to fulfill all those desires. So the Lord wanted to be his devotee, so he became his devotee. The Lord wanted to dance, then he could do that. He can do anything. So that is Swarajya Lakshmi. So in the purports, this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing with his associates is compared to Krishna performing Rasleela with his gopis. So this is the same pastime. Everywhere the Lord is enjoying. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving full pleasure to the Supreme Lord, and in that way he's enjoying the pastimes. So this is Supreme Lord. And here, in this, as it is mentioned this verse, the Lord has multifarious energies, and the true Mayavadis, the true impersonalists, they cannot accept the energies of the Lord. They cannot accept the energies of the Lord. We are not talking about the current Mayavadis. They speak anything. One time they say the Lord doesn't have any form. Next sentence they speak about mercy of the Lord. So this is current Mayavad. They don't know. They are not really Mayavadis. They are not really impersonalists. They may tell some impersonalism. After that, they tell something else. They are actually confused people. The real definition is they are confused people. They don't know really. They don't know real Mayavad. They don't know real impersonal philosophy. According to real impersonal philosophy, there is no energetic, by the by, and there are no energies. So you cannot speak about mercy. You cannot speak about Kripa Shakti, because the Absolute cannot have mercy. It cannot be there. So this is the real Mayavad. That's why they don't accept the Parinamvad. They don't accept transformation of the energies. Why there is creation? Here also in the purport it is mentioned. The verse in itself it is mentioned. Shakti supteva purusham. Compared to a wife, a husband wakes his wife for enjoyment. In the same way, the Supreme Lord actually give potency to all his energies, and they start enacting. That is creation. So that is a creation. So this is Parinam. This is transformation of the energy. So if you study creation, we can understand the Supreme Lord's energies are being transformed, and that's how this material world is being created. So, but the real impersonalists. They cannot accept this. The Mayavadis, they don't accept this. Rather, they say there is no question of parinama, there is no question of transformation, because the absolute is beyond transformation. If the absolute transforms, then he changes. How is it possible? So they have the Vivartavad. So they say everything is Maya. Why there is creation? Why do we have this body? It is just Maya. It's just you are thinking. There is nothing like creation. It is just Maya. There is nothing like creation. So that's why Prabhupada said, if nothing is there, then why do we worry really? If everything is same, why do we worry? You know, it's a cold, you know, Prabhupada gave the example, in the cold winter, one string is same as the, or you know, a piece of cloth is same as the whole chadar, then why do we really worry? We can exchange. It's a cold winter, give me your chadar. You know, you can take one string out of it and give me the chadar. It's all the same. Why do we have the wallet? Give me your wallet. It's all the same. Right? It's with me, with you, it's all the same. But that's not acceptable. So that's where the Mayavadis are at. They don't accept the energy of the Lord, our energy of the Absolute. But we do, because we accept and we use it in service of Krishna. And this particular Upanishadic mantra is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in many times. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarai Thakur, he's the Lion Guru, he's the Acharya Kesari. He used to invite, when somebody asked for a debate, he used to debate them and defeat them. So some Mayavadis, they asked Bhaktisiddhanta Sarai Thakur, we will invite you for a debate. Can you come and debate with us and defeat us or get defeated? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarai Thakur said, yes, no problem, I'll come for the debate. Then this communication was through letters. Then they sent a letter saying, you cannot use Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam in the debate. You cannot quote from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam in the debate. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarai Thakur said, no problem, I will not use Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam in the debate. Still we can have the debate. Then they replied back, you can only use Upanishads. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarai Thakur said, okay, no problem, we will only have Upanishads till we have the debate. Then they replied back, or they didn't reply back, there was no debate. So this is, everything is there. The Vedic conclusion means service to the Supreme Lord. When it is misinterpreted, then it takes different meanings and different forms and shapes. And without bhakti, we don't get any access to any of these scriptures. I happened this time also in my Bhagavatam reciter. So one of my cousins is a professional Bhagavatam reciter. He knows technically, he studied in detail. He asked questions, detailed technical questions about Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, third canto, we understand there are varaha appearance two times, two kinds of varaha appears in the third canto. So he asked, okay, it is talking about varaha in the beginning itself. We can see Swayambhumanu, the devotee is approaching Swayambhumanu and telling the earth is already fallen, so where are we going to populate? Then we hear the pastime of Hiranyaksha, you know, putting the earth in the Garbhodaka ocean, and then Varaha coming, lifting up. The second part took place after 6 Manvantaras. It is not in the Swayambhumanantara, it was after the Chakshusha Manvantara. So why there is a gap? So how is it possible? Because who actually, this Hiranyaksha pulled the earth down to the Garbhodaka ocean, and now Varaha came in Chakshusha Manvantara, not in the Swayambhu Manvantara. So how is it possible? So this is the way they analyze. They are asking quite technical questions, detailedly studying the whole thing. But their understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is pathetic. They know all the pastimes in detail. They all know all the technical stuff. But they cannot accept Srimad Bhagavatam. I was shocked. So he told, look, we know the pastime of how Krishna pulled the grinding mortar and pulled it through the Yamalarjun trees, right? And Nalakuvera and Manigreva came out. He said, do you know this pastime? Yeah, of course we know this pastime. We were discussing. Then he told, people just want to listen to these kind of stories. These are just stories. You know what's the real meaning? The real meaning is that these two trees, they are representing the two Ida and Pingala. You know, these are different in the Ida and Pingala, and how the prana is going through that. That is what is representing. How the prana is going through Ida and Pingala, that is the real meaning of the story. How can he himself is telling, how can I speak to my audience? They cannot really understand this. So I just tell the stories, and they are satisfied with the stories. This is not the real meaning. And he told, look, we know the pastime, how Krishna and Arjun went all the way up to see Vishnu. You know, these are just stories. Actually, it is representing the Dasha Indriyas, to kill all the Indriyas, or go beyond all the Indriyas, and how the Jiva is merging with the Supreme Lord. That's the real meaning of that. Nara is meeting with Narayan. That's the real meaning. These are just stories. So this is how the expert Bhagavatam reciters are reciting Bhagavatam. And people are very happy listening to stories from such atheistic people. They are not devotees. They are not even theistic. They are atheistic. I went to a Bhagavad Sutra. Then again, devotees had a bookstore. Bhagavad Sutra means about 10 days continuous Bhagavad Prabhashan, you know, Bhagavad stories all the time, continuous. Each speaker is given 1 or 2 hours, morning till night, every single day. It's not sapta, given to many people, so everyone can speculate. Opportunity for all. And I went there, and I went to meet the devotees. There was a bookstore. So they were telling, oh, we are so tired. Usually we can distribute books anywhere, that's all right. But here, it is so difficult, because people are all speaking Bhagavatam in the most obnoxious way, terrible way. Devotees can't stand. This is what is happening. One person, I was there for only half an hour, and that was enough for me. One person started speaking. First few minutes, Sanskrit. He was speaking in good Sanskrit. His introduction, what he's going to speak, pronounced to everyone, everything in Sanskrit, proper Sanskrit. And after that, he started speaking in Malayalam. He explained. And it's nicely quoting verses from Bhagavatam, Mayavad, impersonal philosophy. He was quoting verses from Kapil Dev's teaching, you know, how there is Saropya, Salokya, Srashti, Ekatvam. And then he was telling how Salokya means, if you want to go to Vishnu's abode, you can go there. If you want to go to Durga's abode, you can go to that abode, quoting verses. If you want to Shiva's abode, you can go anywhere. This is Salokya. So there is no conception of Salokya going to the Supreme Lord as Vishnu. There is no such a concept. Anything. And highest is, of course, what is that? Ekatvam. Highest is Ekatvam. Merging into everything. That is the highest. If you come to that platform, then you don't need to worry about all this lower stuff. So this is nonsense. So this is what is going on. And people are very happy hearing such things. They feel, yeah, they are satisfied hearing Bhagavatam. I don't know whether they're satisfied or not, but Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, he was given a slot to speak for 1 hour or so. And they told, the organizer told the devotees, first of all, we know that you people chant and dance on the stage. First of all, you cannot do that. Second, don't speak in English. Okay, Maharaj went there. He started speaking in English. And people are educated audience. They did understand. And after that, there were some Russian devotees to accompany him. So they had accordion, everything. He started singing. And got a very good response from everyone, because they were so bored so far hearing all this without understanding anything. Now they really heard something, and they heard chanting Hare Krishna, all of them big clapping. They were so happy, and the devotees told me that Bhagavad Gita sales increased after that because they understood what is Bhagavad Gita. The message of Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. It is not just some sentimental stories. So this is what we need. We need proper understanding, we need proper philosophy, and we need proper practice. So devotees, we can demonstrate that. What is Bhagavatam like? When we do chanting and dancing, when we distribute books, we can actually, devotees can feel presence of Krishna. Krishna arranges everything, only we had to be enthusiastic, we had to be out there. That's the greatest difficulty many times for the devotees, is going out. If you are out from the temple, then things work out. But till then, it's very difficult. Have you felt that? Sometimes I feel. If you are sitting there, oh, don't want to go. But if you get out, if you go there, if you have some books in the hand, then things happen. Krishna makes things happen. That's it. I remember I was in Taralgan, I think. I was in Taralgan. I was distributing books for last marathon. It was a difficult day. It was very hot. You know, books were not going. After that, halfway through, few books went, but I wanted to do more books. So I was standing near the supermarket and I was praying. Suddenly one girl came. She was looking Indian or Sri Lankan. So I stopped her. So she said, okay, I'm from India. I'm from South India. I said, yeah, I'm also from South India. So where are you from? She said, I'm from Kerala. I said, I'm also from Kerala. Okay. So she said, yeah, I started speaking. I said, I'm a brahmachari, even though I was wearing normal clothes. I was not wearing our devotional clothes. Then she started speaking to me. And she said, I have a leg problem. Can we sit and talk? I said, all right, we can sit and talk. Sat next to a bench. And she said, she had some health problems and her husband is working over there. She told me, since she was going through some problems, she wanted to read Bhagavad Gita. She said, last night I went to Amazon, I was looking for a Bhagavad Gita. And she said, I was searching for a Bhagavad Gita and there were so many Bhagavad Gitas. And I was so confused. And I was thinking, what to buy? I said, today I came out and here you are with Bhagavad Gita. I said, yes, this is the real Bhagavad Gita. Read this. So she was teetered, this is really Krishna's arrangement. So this is how it is, you know. Krishna arranges somehow or other. People come in front of us. You know, somehow or other they come and take the book. I was in Shepparton, last marathon. One lady came. She was about 50s, Australian, and quite sophisticated, well-dressed, well-spoken. I told, we are monks distributing books. She said, I am into meditation, I am into yoga, and I was doing this for past 2 decades. I am into mindfulness, I have tried everything. And I was thinking last few days that what's next? I have done all this kind of thing. But what's next after doing this mindfulness, this yoga? I said, this is next. She appreciated. Yeah, this is really wonderful. I said, this is Bhagavad Gita. This is 5,000-year-old wisdom. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. She said, this is really amazing. Because yesterday I was just passing through this area. I saw a cattle truck and I was feeling so bad because these cattle are being sent for slaughter and I felt so bad. Immediately I thought I should write a letter to government for bad, you know, animal cruelty. Then immediately another thought came to my mind. First, I have to change because still I am eating meat. So she said, that point I decided that I stop eating meat. And then last night I had a dream, she told. In the dream, a yogi came and gave me something. I said, okay, that's interesting. I said, okay, this is what it is. This is the book. So it was quite interesting. So, interestingly enough, she is from Melbourne. So I gave all the details here. Melbourne details, temple, urban yoga, I don't know, whatever I had. I gave all the details. And asked her, will you come visit us? She was quite appreciative. She gave a good donation and took the book. This is how it is. When we are out there, somehow or other, Krishna reciprocates. Because everything is Krishna's energy. You know, as Bhagavatam says, it is Maya if we think anything in this world separate from Krishna. So everything is Krishna's feminine potency. So it is the Shakti. What we are seeing, everything is Shakti, including us. So everything is meant to serve Krishna. So as it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, a pure devotee sees the whole material creation as a paraphernalia to be used in service of Krishna. The whole material creation as a paraphernalia. Like Srila Prabhupada, he saw everything in service of Krishna. Everything. Even this pastime of Srila Prabhupada where one person was distributing in India, distributing some flyers, some nonsense flyers, some invitation to some Mayavadi talk. Prabhupada also took, he asked all the devotees to collect all these flyers. So they all took the flyers and Prabhu has collected all of them. Devotees were thinking, what is going to do with these flyers? You know, it's a bad invitation. It's going to redirect people to Maya. So Prabhu took everything. Next day, while distributing prasadam, Prabhu wrapped this flyer to give prasadam to everyone. Prabhu used even this in service of Krishna. So this is Prabhu. This is the consciousness of a pure devotee. So yes, what we have is, you know, we have the great opportunity. Krishna bhakti rasa paribhavita mati. That's the definition of Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? To be absorbed in the mellow of devotional service to Krishna. That's how Prabhupada actually defined, how he coined this word. It's amazing if you think about it. These words were not in the vocabulary of English. Krishna consciousness. Before Prabhupada, was there a term, Krishna consciousness? No. Devotional service, was there a term, devotional service? No, it was in there. Even the term was in there. So how Srila Prabhupada coined this word, Krishna consciousness? It is from Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi. Means the absorption in the loving, in the mellows of loving devotional service to Supreme Lord Krishna. So this is Krishna consciousness. So if we just try to understand just the word Krishna consciousness, that in itself is very high, very far out. It's amazing if you try to see. Being absorbed in Krishna, in service to Krishna, and tasting that rasa, the mellow. So that is the real samadhi. Absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that is the real samadhi. Even the Westerners, those who are a little bit into different gurus and different yogas, and they ask us, one person, he was asking us, came to a program, was coming regularly to a program, he was in touch with some guru. I read only books of gurus who can enter into samadhi and come back from samadhi at his own wish. Big statement, right? He has the ability to get into samadhi and come out, go into samadhi and come out from samadhi by one's own wish. We gave some book, this guru, can he actually get into samadhi and come out from samadhi? Then I will read, otherwise I will not read. Western boy, he was making such big statements. Prabhu says, what is samadhi? If you are serving Krishna, you are in samadhi. That's why Prabhu said, work now, samadhi later. What does that mean? Working for Krishna is samadhi. It's not necessary. The samyak dhiyate means complete absorption in Krishna. That is samadhi. So we have that great opportunity to do that. And we are in the association of the devotees. When we bring new people in and when we see how they are affected by the devotion of the devotees, then we can actually see the power of devotional service. Otherwise, after a few years of devotional service, we tend to forget the power of devotion. We tend to forget the power of the devotees and devotional service. We may take it casually. But when we see from the eyes of new people, then we can see it is amazing. We can see the transformation of people. Then we can see, oh, this is far out. I could see that. When we are taking the new people, then you could see it is just amazing. So that is the Shakti. This is the Bhakti Shakti. And today, we don't have a lot of time, but briefly, today is disappearance of two great Vaishnavas who were completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. One of that great devotees is Jagannath Das Babaji. So it is his disappearance day. There are different biographies. He lived around 144 to 147 years in this world. It's a very, very longevity. It is not according to Kali Yuga standards. It's much greater than that. And we can see his posture, because of his advanced age, his body was arched almost like a semicircle. We can see in our altar. And he was the beloved Shiksha Guru of Bhaktivinod Thakur. So he comes in our disciplic succession, and he was a great personality who validated the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he did bhajan both in Vrindavan and in Mayapur. So if you go to Mayapur, we can see his bhajan kutir and near Ganges. Now probably Ganges is not so near, but at that time Ganges was so near, and there is the tree underneath. He performed his bhajan. He gave amazing instructions, and he actually acted in such an exemplary way, so anyone can follow his example in the renounced order. But one has to be qualified to do that, to follow him exactly. So Jagannathas Babaji, he lived in Vrindavan initially. First time he was living 6 months in Vrindavan and six months in Navadvip. So while living in Vrindavan, one time he begged alms from a sweeper. And he took some prasadam from a sweeper and ate. And the caste brahmanas, they criticized Jagannathas Babaji. They told, how can you take prasadam from such a low caste person? So Jagannathas Babaji told, you know, when Krishna appeared, thousands of sages appeared in Braj as associate of Lord Krishna, but many of them were born in low caste. And not only that, this person, he's a sweeper in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, each particle of dust is Chintamani. It can, by if you think that thoughts can manifest as reality. So it is Chintamani. So this sweeper is sweeping, that he's always in the dust of Vrindavan, in Vraj Raj. So he's the most qualified person to beg from, because he has the greatest wealth, because in Vrindavan one is purified by the dust of Vrindavan. So he said that was the mood of Jagannathas Babaji. Similarly, when he was in Navadvip in Mayapur, what he did, when he was taking prasadam, there used to be puppies. These puppies were born recently on the bank of Ganges, and these puppies would come and try to eat next to Babaji, and one time he even took the prasadam what Babaji was taking. So Jagannathas Babaji's servant, very dearmost servant, he's also a Brajavasi, he's Bihari, told, I'm going to move these puppies. And one time he even took away these puppies. Jagannathas Babaji said, if I had to eat anything, I need these puppies along with me. Even they had to eat first, then I will eat. Why? He said, they are born in Dham. So they are actually Dham Vasis. So how can you offend these Dham Vasis? So this was the mood of Jagannathas Babaji. Even Srila Prabhupada demonstrated this mood. We can read this pastime of Srila Prabhupada when he was in Radha Damodar Mandir. When one of the Goswamis, when he cleaned his room and he removed the cobwebs from Srila Prabhupada's room, then when he came back, he couldn't see any spiders or cobwebs or anything. Then Srila Prabhupada asked, what happened? He said, I removed all of them because I cleaned all of them because you are living there. Prabhupada said, they came so many generations before us. Their parents, their grandparents, they were all Brajavasis. And me and you, we came only recently here. So how can you disturb such Prajavasis? This was the humility of Srila Prabhupada. So all the great acharyas, they manifested such great humility. And one time, a great wealthy merchant came to Navadvip, and he didn't have much faith in Jagannathas Babaji as a Siddha Babaji, and he wanted to see some miracle, or he wanted to see, test him out. So when he came near Jagannathas Babaji, he asked, are you the Siddha Baba? The Jagannathas Babaji said, no, I am not that Siddha Baba. You look somewhere else. I am just an ordinary conditioned living entity just like you. I have no qualifications. So this person, he was intelligent. He understood. He is showing his humility. He is actually the Siddha Baba. He asked, can you show some miracle? So Jagannathas Babaji said, I cannot show any miracle. I don't have any ability. Suddenly, he took a stick and he started beating the ground fiercely, in great anger. So this wealthy man, he thought, what happened to Babaji? Did he become angry because seeing me or asking this question? Then after some time, he became quiet and he said, what happened, Babaji? He said, in Vrindavan, near Loknath Maharaj's temple, there is a goat has entered the Tulsi garden, and this goat is trying to eat Tulsi. So I was chasing that goat away. So that time, this wealthy person sent a telegram to Vrindavan to verify whether this happened or not. And he got a reply saying that yes, a goat entered the Tulsi garden in Lokadas Goswami's temple and tried to destroy. And somebody actually chased it. He could see that after some time it's chased, being chased away by someone. So this is the power of Jagannath Bas Babaji. And it's another amazing pastime. Bihari was so dear to Babaji that one time he gave Chaitanya Charitamrita to Bihari and asked him to read Chaitanya Charitamrita loudly. The problem was, Bihari was illiterate. He didn't know how to read anything. He couldn't even read a letter. So he said, Babaji, Guru Maharaj, I don't know how to read. How can I read Chaitanya Charitamrita? He said, just try to read, everything will happen. He tried to look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita for some time. After a few minutes, he started reading very eloquently by the mercy of the Babaji. So this was the potency of Jagannath Das Babaji. And even one time Bihari was very ill and he had a great fever and he was about to die. Even an expert physician came from Calcutta to treat Bihari. He said, it is beyond my control. I cannot do anything. So Jagannath Das Babaji, he said, he gave him Tulsi and he started chanting in front of him. In half an hour, Bihari got well. And it is mentioned, all these days, Jagannath Das Babaji didn't eat anything. He said, unless and until Bihari cooks for me, I will not eat anything. And half an hour, Bihari got well, he cooked some bhoga, offered to the Lord and gave to Babaji. So this is Jagannath Babaji, it's the Siddha Purusha. Today is his disappearance. And one more interesting pastime, because Bihari, many devotees would come and visit Babaji and give some donation. So Bihari used to collect all this donation. And one day, Jagannath Das Babaji asked Bihari, give me all the donations. Bihari understood, Babaji is going to take all the donation and he is going to give away. So tomorrow to serve my guru, I will have nothing. So he kept aside 12 rupees and gave the rest. Babaji couldn't see anything. He couldn't see, he couldn't walk anything. So he took whatever he gave, Babaji took. He said, but why have you kept aside 12 rupees? Bihari said, no, it is just to serve you. He said, no, no, give me that also. He took away even 12 rupees. So Bihari had nothing. And he said, take all these rupees, go nice sweets. So Bihari became happy. You know, now there will be a feast or something. So he said, buy sandesh, rasagula, gulab jamun, buy everything nicely. Then he said, okay, then what to do? He said, after that, feed all the cows in the dham. So he threw a party for the cows. So he didn't take any sweets for himself or for Bihari. Everything was given to the cows. So this is the mood of Jagannath Das Babaji. He was serving all the devotees and all the residents in the dham. And Jagannath Das Babaji is known for validating the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though he was completely bedridden, or he was completely, his body was completely arched, he couldn't walk, he couldn't see anything, Bihari carried him in a basket, and when he reached Yogapit, immediately he jumped down. He said, this is my Nimai's birthplace. And he started chanting and dancing, Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari, Patita Pavana Gaura Hari. And I'll tell you few instructions, very important instructions of Jagannath Das Babaji. One is, take shelter of holy names of Krishna. He said, one who is serious about devotional life shouldn't sleep between 3 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock. It's not that we can sleep after that. But 3 to 7 he identified as the prime time in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So as we know, Srila Prabhupada has arranged our morning program accordingly. We can chant at least from 5 to 7, which is good. So 3 to 7 is the best time for chanting. Then he said, one has to control one's mind and senses. He never agreed or authorized any intermingling between man and woman. One shouldn't be attached to a woman, or in other words, opposite sex, or one who is attached to a person who is attached to a woman. He was completely against. He said, no, you have to strictly follow the regulative principles. It is said, one sadhu, he came to meet Babaji to get some Mahaprasad. He didn't give Mahaprasad. He waited and starved for 3 days. After third day, Babaji gave a piece of his cowpean. He torn a little bit of cowpean and gave, asked Bihari, give to him. Tell him, before becoming a sadhu, control your mind and senses. So it is applicable to all. We are claiming to be sadhus, devotees, so we need to control our mind and senses. Then he said, it is very, very, very important to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali. Because Krishna is like a ruler. He is giving the instructions to do this. But for mercy, we had to approach Lord Chaitanya. So he emphatically established the merciful mood of Lord Chaitanya and asked everyone to approach Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the very important teachings of Jagannath Das Babaji. We can remember them. And one more point I will tell. Today is also the disappearance of Rasikananda Pandit. He is the disciple of Shyamananda Pandit. He was born in a royal family, but he became a sadhu. As the instruction of Shyamananda Pandit, first he became a pujari of Govinchi. And after serving there many years, he was asked to preach. Then about 40 years he preached Krishna consciousness. And it is mentioned he preached to all classes of men, including to the lowborn, to great kings, and even to Muslims. He preached to everyone and made all of them devotees. So this was the potency of Rasikananda Prabhu. And it is mentioned how he departed from this world. He departed from the temple of Kshirchod Gopinath in Orissa. He asked for a loud kirtan. There was a very energetic kirtan with all his disciples. And after the kirtan finished, he disappeared. In between that, when the kirtan was roaring, he disappeared. He went into the deity of Kshircho Gopinath. And all his disciples, they were devastated. It is said, all of them gave up their body then and there itself. They broke their mridanga and they gave up their body because of separation. So this is Rasikananda, great Rasika Vaishnava. So today is their disappearance. Hare Krishna, it's already over time. So I don't think we have any time for question. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.